The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, a really warm welcome to everybody, wherever you are and however you're feeling about this evening on November 3rd in 2020. I think many of us are keeping an eye towards what the election results are going to be, but we don't have them yet. So what a beautiful thing to be doing, to be practicing together. And tonight I thought I would do some equanimity practice. And I know for some people, they feel like, well, equanimity is not what's needed. It's not, you know, in this moment in our history, equanimity isn't what we should be doing. But often that's because people have this idea maybe that equanimity means detachment or coolness or apathy. But instead, equanimity is allowing your heart to be touched, allowing your mind to be affected, and still having a certain amount of balance, and still having a certain amount of peace. And maybe still being able to see a bigger picture, you know, maybe a longer duration. And yes, this might be difficult right now, and this is uncomfortable, but it won't always be this way. So this cultivating equanimity is a way in which it can help bring some balance and some peace in our life. And I believe this is what we need now more than ever. Maybe as I said at the beginning here, before I turned on the recording, that no matter what happens, the outcome of this election and the aftermath, no matter what happens, the world needs us to not succumb to hate or greed. The world needs us to maintain as much balance, as much peace as we can. We need our best wisdom and our best compassion to face difficulties if they arise, and to face non-difficulties too. It's always good, right, to have our best wisdom and our best compassion. But these qualities aren't easy to access when we're activated or feeling angry or sad or even abundantly celebratory. And we don't necessarily have access to our greatest wisdom and our greatest compassion. Whereas with an equanimity, even like moving the direction towards equanimity, even if we don't become equanimous, but to have that even as an intention, as opposed to like indulging in whatever the current emotion might be, if that emotion feels like it's leading to overwhelm or leading to some unskillful behavior. These are difficult times, trying times for so many of us. The anxiety, the stress. I have a little confession that I've been quite busy, and it wasn't until this morning that I realized, oh, wait, I'm teaching happy hour on November 3rd. And then right then I had this little, like, oh, my goodness, what can I offer? So I show up here offering goodwill for all of you, goodwill for everybody, and with this encouragement to have in our hearts, maybe in our minds, that, you know, their balance and peace is never something that we have regret, and is never something that we that leads us down a way in which we prefer we didn't go, our minds and hearts didn't go. Because we all know that the most effective action doesn't come from a panicky, rushed desire. Instead, with a steady and clear mind, we can respond to whatever arises. And with our hearts open, we can meet whatever arises and respond with care and concern and thoughtfulness. I'm trying to feel into if there's something else that feels like the right thing to say now. I think that maybe we'll practice a little bit and then we will have an opportunity to maybe do some more speaking together than we might otherwise. But for whomever the candidate is, the ones that you hope wins, I hope that none of us close our hearts. I hope that none of us shut down or not allow into our hearts or into our care whomever wins and whomever voted for who, everybody, whoever voted for whomever wins that we wish didn't win, or you understand what I'm trying to say, keeping our hearts open. Keeping our hearts open. And equanimity practice can help us, can support us with this. Okay. So with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. So, just settling in and bringing our attention to the felt experience, the bodily experience right now. Be feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling the feet on the ground. Maybe awakening to the bodily experience. Whatever is alive, whatever is present in the body right now. Maybe we're feeling a little jumpy and agitated. Maybe we're feeling tired and overwhelmed. Maybe we're not even sure what we're feeling. We can bring some care to the felt experience. Maybe bring in some awareness to those areas of the body that often hold tension. Around the eyes, the jaw, the shoulders, not that we have to make tension go away. We're just helping to create the conditions in which it might soften, might release. Bringing attention to the upper back and lower back. And the chest. Maybe there's a really small movement which the chest can be open, not collapsed. And the belly. Again, feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion or whatever you're sitting on against the body, feeling supported, connected. The upper legs. Lower legs. And feet. Our feet to support us, connect us. Our arms. And our hands. And feeling what the hands are feeling, touching. Is it smooth or rough? Warm, cool. And then what does it feel like to have hands? That is, maybe there's a little bit of tingling or a buzzy feeling or the sensation of having hands from the inside. And bringing that same type of awareness to the sensations of breathing. Just connecting with the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest. Maybe tapping into any sense of gratitude for having a practice, having a way to get reconnected to yourself when sometimes you feel maybe overwhelmed or lost or unsteady. And gratitude for knowing there's so many people who are practicing. There's those of us here tonight. There's lots of people using apps. There are people on retreat. There are people at home. Whether they are doing formal meditation practice or just mindfully being aware. Just connecting into the sense of appreciation or gratitude. And then we'll do a little bit of loving kindness practice. We'll start where it's easy, the easiest being to love, to feel warmth towards, to care about, to have goodwill, feel warm-hearted, benevolence, respect, whichever words resonate with you. Might be a person, somebody you know. It might be a family member that has four legs. Might be an imaginary puppy or kitten. Baby. And allow yourself to feel the warmth, the softness, or whatever it is you might be feeling. And to support the cultivation of loving kindness, we'll do some phrases. And then maybe just radiate warmth. Whatever feels comfortable for you. So again, bringing to mind the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. and checking in with the bodily experience, there might be some warmth or some softness associated with loving kindness. If so, can you allow that experience to support you? Maybe guide you even. And you can allow the warmth or softness or any sense of well-being to get as big as it would like. Not forcing it, not making it, but just allowing it to get as big as it would like. And then to do some equanimity practice. If you like, you don't have to. If you like, you can bring to mind a being that's a little bit troubling. Or a situation, or an experience. Maybe there's an uncomfortable bodily experience right now. So whichever form this uncomfortableness arises, maybe you have to use your imagination, maybe not. I'm going to offer some phrases and see which ones resonate with you to support the arising of equanimity. I care for all beings, and my way is not the only way. I care for all beings, and my way is not the only way. May I offer care, knowing I don't control the course of events. May I offer care, knowing I don't control the course of events. May I see the limits of my compassion just as I see the limits of others. May I see the limits of my compassion just as I see the limits of others. If that feels like too many words, too complicated, you're very welcome to do loving kindness practice or maybe mindfulness of the body. Maybe you have your favorite equanimity phrase you'd like to use. I care for all beings, and my way is not the only way. May I offer care, knowing I don't control the course of events. May I see the limits of my compassion just as I see the limits of others. Again, it can be helpful to check in with the sensations of the body. Maybe there's a little bit of release, a little bit of softening as equanimity is felt or experienced. It's perfectly fine if you don't feel that. We're just creating the conditions to increase the likelihood. I care for all beings, and my way is not the only way. May I offer care, knowing I don't control the course of events. May I see the limits of my compassion just as I see the limits of others. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. This idea of practicing equanimity and using different phrases, right? There doesn't have to be any like magical quality to any particular phrases. We use ones that seem like resonate with us and are meaningful for us, and that we can have access to. So not only during meditation, but maybe during the day, when we're hearing the news or talking with others or whatever it might be. And it can be really helpful to have a sense of what is it that supports my having a sense of balance? What is it that supports having a sense of well-being or peace or whatever it might be? So I was thinking that that would be an excellent topic for some small groups to talk about. What are the conditions that support a sense of having some balance or some well-being, some equanimity? Some obvious ones are not being tired, not feeling like really rushed, or you know, some other things. So when do you feel like you have greater access to equanimity? So we'll put you into some breakout rooms with just a few people and with an opportunity to explore this and just talk about how you can take care of yourself and how you can have access to equanimity. So we'll just meet for just 10 minutes. And then we'll come back and into the larger room, and we can talk some more. So let's have the first digit in your street number. That is, if you live on 100 Main Street, you would go first. If you live on 900 Elm Street, you'd go last, probably. Okay, so have fun. So, welcome back, everybody. I thought just to open it up for some general discussion, and I see Linda that you're going. That did you just post some of your phrases that you like for equanimity?
Yeah, I hit return. Now I'm in the process of trying to get the rest of it up there. So,
does somebody else have a comment or something they'd like to share? Or maybe you have your own equanimity phrases that you want to.
Hi. So someone in our group had some really great phrases. I can post them on chat. I was able to capture them. But he provided us the phrases. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. May I see things just as they are. May I meet the arising and passing away of all things with equanimity and balance.
Nice. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And Linda, do you want to read yours?
Sure. And I have no idea who the author of this is, but it's stuck with me for years. Things are as they have come to be. May I live in the world with an open heart, and may whatever clouds my heart be dissolved. And may I see the world through quiet eyes.
Mm. Anybody else have some phrases they'd like to share or some equanimity practices? Jerry, were you going to share some?
Yeah, sorry, I just got some other thing on my screen. Thank you. I was thinking today, well, it didn't come up in the group, but there is an expression in, I think it's Gen Z, it is what it is. And in some ways that I thought of it and I thought, you know what? If I just stay to it is what it is, and I don't attach a lot of emotion to it, I can get through the day. I'd rather think about yesterday or tomorrow. So I thought of it today, and I was in the kitchen. I thought, well, whatever happens, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And that sort of allowed me to just stay in that moment and think, okay, it is what it is.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
What about some other phrases? Other ways of working with equanimity? Yes, Dawn.
This is just a very simple one that Joseph Goldstein sometimes teaches, which is, it's okay.
It's okay. Thank you. It's okay. It's okay. Earlier today, I heard the Beatles song, Let It Be, whisper words of wisdom and let it be. And I thought, like, oh, yeah, that's very nice.
Well, it's also perhaps the serenity prayer, you know, accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Nice. Thank you, Kathleen. Some words of wisdom. So, Diana, I don't know if you are, if you're muted, but it looks like you're speaking. Oh, okay. Anybody else have something they'd like to say on this evening as a way to kind of support us and all of us practicing together? Oh, here's Diana. She's back now.
Question is on one of your phrases, which was, may I see the limits of my compassion just as I see the limits of others. Is it referring to the limits of others' compassion or the limits of others as beings, or which? Which limits is it? In this particular phrase?
Yeah, I like the vagueness of it.
Okay. I can be equanimous with that.
Yeah. I think that, that's a natural question when we look at that. And I think it's maybe at different times, it means different things for us. So I know that this is, you know, a tumultuous time, maybe a difficult time, but I don't know. I feel kind of buoyed by this idea that the world needs us. It needs people who are not losing touch with their hearts. It needs people who aspire to have some balance and some open-heartedness and some care and warmth, no matter what happens. it needs the people who can see the big picture. So maybe, are there some last comments that we'd like to say here? Yes, Linda.
I just want to tell you that my dog has always been my lovable being when I do my loving kindness practice. And tonight you were. I'm so grateful that you're here doing this during this time. You know, and I used to, Sharon Salzberg uses the word benefactor, and I used to think I've never had a benefactor. But I really feel like all of you, the teachers, and these groups, and that we're practicing together, it's just so, it warms my heart. So thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Definitely warms my heart. Definitely warms my heart. What a beautiful thing for all of us to be practicing together and to come here and be on this screen, right? Where we see all these beautiful people. I don't want to end. I don't know. Does somebody have something they'd like to say? We don't have to end right now. Maybe I can turn off the recording.